Morning, everyone. Okay. Let's do it in the sense of let us finish the fourth parak of Chulin today. We have what to do. Today's daf is daf ayin ches, which means that really we should be starting the fifth parak of Chulin today. So let's make it a goal this week that we're going to catch up and get right back to speed so that we will be together with the rest of the world in terms of the daf yomi. We're back on ayin vav amud beis, and we started the sugya yesterday of the leg and the broken leg, the amputated leg, the broken leg, and the ruptured tendons.
And the dish that you serve with the leg and the head.
That's good.
Actually,
no,
in Los Angeles.
Well.
No, I understand. At the wedding, at the end of each wedding,
right.
Like around 3-4 a.m.
Right.
They bring it.
Leg and head. So okay. Okay. So we are today. We're starting the topic of discussion today. We're 9 vav amud beis. We're at the bottom of the amud. And where the discussion we're going to be beginning now is broken leg. So again, now amputated leg covered, torn tendons that we discussed yesterday as well, and now the leg breaks. Right, I referenced yesterday the Joe Theismann injury. For those of you who remember football, or you know, it is nonsense. But it was nonsense for him, and it's exactly what we're going to be discussing over the course of the next bit, which is that it's more than just a break of the bone plus the bone actually coming out, right? We all know, again, I'm not a doctor, but we all know that if you break a bone, okay, it's, you know, they put a cast on you, but the secret of the cast is that the cast doesn't do anything. You know, it holds everything in place, it protects it, but really the healing is going to come from within, okay? But in other words, it gets to a point, however, where the bone, if the bone actually comes out of the body, so then you're dealing with serious issues, and obviously it can become very complicated, and the Mishnah tells us that's one of the trefas. One of the trefas of an animal is that if the bone breaks and the bone comes out, so the animal now is going to be considered a trefa. Let's begin in the Gemara. We are towards the bottom of the page. We're starting with Tana Rabbanan. It is about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. It's the last three words in the line. Tan Rabbanan Nishbar Ha'etzem. The Yatzal Lachutz, if the bone breaks and the bone comes outside of the body. So Im Ora Basar Chofenes Ruba Mutar V'im Lav Asur. So here the Braisa gives us very clear parameters. Not very clear. Clear parameters in terms of when is it going to be okay? When is it going to be that it will heal and this is not a trefa? If most of the Basar covers the bone... Let me say it. If most of the bone, let me do it that way. If most of the bone is being covered by the buster, by the flesh of the animal, so then the brisa says mutter, it's fine. However, if the bone is exposed and the majority of the bone is not covered, so then it's going to be also, then it's going to be forbidden. Now, when we talk about the majority of the bone, obviously we need better, we need a much better quantifiable way of explaining. What does that mean, the majority of the bone? Meaning, we're talking about big bones. We're talking about a femur. We're talking about a tibia. What does that mean, most of the bone? The bone is huge. So, as the Gemara was about to explain, when we say the majority of the bone, meaning, imagine now the bone breaks. And now that broken piece comes out. So, obviously, we are talking about the circumference, the cylindrical side of the bone. And that's when we talk about majority. Even then, we're going to go back to a classic discussion that we've had time and again throughout the third and fourth parak. When we say rove, do we mean rove of the circumference or rove of the surface area, right? Which usually is the same, but not necessarily. The Gemara goes on to discuss that. The Kama Rubo Kiyaz Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan Rav Oviav. The majority of its thickness. For Amrila Rov Hekefo, some say the majority of the circumference. Okay? Amr Rav Papa Hilkach Mina Rav Avya Rav Hekefo. We have two versions. The Gemara just comes back to this again and again. We have two versions of how to understand what needs to be covered. The majority of the area, surface area, majority of the circumference. The Gemara says you need both. So again, now if you have a break of the bone and the bone comes outside, if the flesh covers the majority of the circumference and the majority of the surface area of the bone, so then the animal is not going to be a trefa. Amar Ulam Rav Yochanan or Harehu Kebasar. Now, What we will be discussing for the rest of this sugya, from here until the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, is what qualifies as a covering. Meaning, now that we know that if it's covered, if the bone is covered, the animal's not a trefa. Now, if you look back at the Braisa was actually pretty clear. The Braisa says it has to be basar. Well, actually, no. I'm sorry. I take it back. Im or uvasar. Skin and flesh. Now, when we say flesh, we're talking about the meat. Right? The meat of the animal. So skin and flesh of the animal has to be covering the bone. So here we go now with a discussion of what exactly qualifies as a covering. This is classic Gemara discussion, trying to legally define what does it mean by covering. Amar ulam Rav Yochanan or hareu kabasar. So we start the discussion by saying that or, just skin itself, just the hide, that's basar. In this halacha, that it, the bone needs to be covered, if it's just covered by skin, that's sufficient. Amle Rav Nachman le'ula v'leim amar or mitzarif le'basar daha or u'basar ketani. So Rav Nachman says, I don't, wait a second. If you go back to the Braisa, because the Braisa says it all, it's just one line of Braisa, but the Braisa says or uvasar. Maybe you need both. Maybe what you meant is both. Both hide and flesh serves as a good covering. Amale anan or o basar taninan. His answer, Ula's answer is, that's not how I learned the Braisa. I learned the Braisa or o basar. Right? It's always ambiguous when you have a vav. Because a vav can mean one of two things. It can mean and, or it can mean or. So when Ula says, when I learned the Braisa, I learned it as or. Not to be confused with the what we're talking about right now, which is skin, which is also or. Okay, I'll try not to confuse. But either or. Either or the flesh of the animal or the skin of the animal serves as a covering, as a valid covering. We have another version of this discussion. In this second version of the discussion, or it combines with basar. So I'm like Rav Nachman Lula V'leim Amar, or Mashlim LeBasar LeChumra. Maybe what you mean is that you need flesh and skin as a chumra, meaning flesh by itself is not enough, skin by itself is not enough. Maybe you need a combination of the two. I'm like Ana Uvde Yadana. Look. You want to tell me that you need skin and flesh? Let me tell you the following case study. There was a scenario where there was a bird. Bird belonged to Rabbi Yitzchak. Broken bone of the bird. Bone came out into the exposed area, and most of the bone was being covered. That covering was comprised of both skin and flesh, meaning not skin over flesh, but a little bit was covered by the skin, and a little bit of it was covered by the flesh. Okay? And I show this case study, this bird, with the broken bone to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says it's fine. Meaning because, since the majority of the bone is covered by the skin and the flesh, so therefore it's fine. What you see over here is that skin does serve as a valid covering because some of the bone was being covered by skin. So Amalei Bar Guzla Kamart. So he says, okay, I'm not going to dispute you, meaning I agree with that's a case study, but you cannot set a precedent based on that case study. That's a bird. Skin of bird is totally different, right? We all know that, meaning, right, I know it's not healthy, I know it's not good for you, but it's delicious, right? We eat the skin of the bird. So it's right. It's not like the animal. The animal, you don't eat the skin of an animal, but when it comes to bird, you eat the skin of the bird. So in the world of birds, skin does have the status of flesh. Okay, but so it's not a good case study because you cannot set precedent based on that case study. So Amalei Bar Guzla Kamar Bar Guzla Derachich Shani. The skin is very soft. It's edible. It's flesh-like. Hanu Gidim Rachin Dasil Kamar Derab. The Gemara now goes on to discuss other types of coverings, meaning again the bone is broken, the bone came outside, and the bone now is covered. Here it's being covered by sinew. Okay, and again, the question's basically going to be the same question: is sinew like flesh? Okay, so Hanu Ginnin Rach and Dalsu Kamei Deraba Amar Rabba Lamai Leichushlu Chada Damer Rav Yochanan Ginnin Shesof Alahakshos Nimnim Alav Bepesach. First of all, we know that Rav Yochanan feels that sinew, that tendons, is considered food. Okay? How do we know that? Because Rav Yochanan says like this. I have a carbon Pesach. Now, obviously, the carbon Pesach is consumed, it's eaten, and the only parts of the carbon Pesach that are eaten are the meat, the edible parts of the carbon Pesach. So let's say I basically now invited everyone in this room to join me in my carbon Pesach, and all the meat is accounted for, and then somebody walks in, says, I'd like to join you for your carbon Pesach. And all I have now left, earmarked for him, is tendon, is gidin. Okay? But they're soft tendon. So Rav Yochanan says, Nimnim aleihem bePesach. You can invite him. And even though all he's getting is some tendon, which is not that exciting, doesn't matter. It's considered food, says Rav Yochanan. Even though it's sofa lahakshos, eventually it's going to get hard, but right now it's a soft tendon, it's fine. Va'od, and furthermore, HaTorah Chasam Mamonu Shei Yisrael, and on top of that, also keep in mind like this. Look, if it's a question of an animal being a treifa or not being a treifa, the Torah's position usually is, I'd rather be mekel, meaning Torah Chasam Mamonu Shei Yisrael. You have a chance to be mekel, you have an opportunity to be mekel, especially when it comes to food. If we're going to be machmer, we're going to have to throw out this animal. That's a lot of money. So if we consider a tendon to be a covering, so you can imagine now that saved us from ruling this animal being a treifa. Torah chasam amonim shei yisrael. So amalei rab papa le rabba rabbi shimon lakish v'yisura derais avarat amay leichush luhu. So he says, let me ask you a question. Look, first of all, Rav Yochanan says that the tendons are considered like meat. Okay. Reish Lakish argues. Reish Lakish says that tendons are not considered like meat. They're considered like tendons. It's not basar. So Reish Lakish argues with Rav Yochanan. That means that according to Reish Lakish, it's not being covered with flesh. The bone is being covered with a non-flesh item. That's not covering. And we're talking about an Issa Daraisa because the bone is out, and if it's not a valid covering, the animal's a treifa. So you should be machmir. You should be machmir over here.
But wasn't this the same with the leg before? It was only hanging by a tendon.
Understood. But that's a different treifa. That's the treifa of broken tendons, ruptured tendons. This treifa is the treifa of broken bones.
Tendons are fine. Right?
Tendons are fine. This is a different. We're discussing now the treifa of broken bones. So ishtik. So he was quiet. He didn't know how to answer. So the Gemara says, "Look, first of all, why are you quiet? Meaning, what was the question? Well, Reish Lakish argues. Okay, but in the world of halacha, we follow like Rav Yochanan, and there are only three times in halacha where we follow like Reish Lakish. See, Rashi goes over the three times that we follow like Reish Lakish, and these aren't one of them. So the Gemara says, so there are three times in halacha that we follow like Reish Lakish. So what are you worried about? That Reish Lakish disputes this case over here, la halacha, shouldn't matter. And hacha dahada b'Rav Yochanan lagabi d'Rav Shimon Lakish. I'm sorry, shani hacha, all right, missed an important word. Shani hacha dahada b'Rav Yochanan lagabi d'Rav Shimon Lakish. No, it's different over here because we happen to know that in this particular case, Rav Yochanan ends up conceding and agreeing to his brother-in-law, Reish Lakish, that sinew is not considered flesh. Neither in the world of Karm Pesach, certainly not here in terms of what would be a valid covering of the bone if the bone is broken and goes outside. To Amale, and how do I know this? We're going to see this later in the Masechta. Al takni, teni b'lashon yachid, anishona osa. In a discussion that will take place later in the Masechta, Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan are arguing exactly over this issue. The Gemara brings in a braisa that seems to support the position that soft sinew is like flesh. And Rav Yochanan himself says, leave that braisa out of this whole discussion. That braisa is a das yachid. It's a singular position. Which means that Rav Yochanan finally conceded to his brother-in-law that sinew, even right now if it's soft, is not considered like flesh. And so therefore, over here too, if the sinew is what's covering the bone, that's not considered a covering. The covering has to be a flesh covering. Hahu nishbar ha'etzem v'yatzal l'chutz. Dishtaku kortis amine. Okay, Gemara now advances other discussions on the broken bone treifa. What if the following happens? Let's say the bone breaks. The bone comes outside. Most of it is covered. However, ishtakul kortisa mine, a little bone chip comes off the bone. Okay. Now, what's the concern over here? The Gemara is really not clear. The Gemara does not share with us what should be the concern. Maybe had the bone chip been over there, so then the majority of the bone is not being covered. Maybe that's the consideration of the Gemara. Really unclear. However, Asla Kamida Abaye, so the matter came in front of Abaye. Now, Abaye wasn't sure where to go with this animal, and he didn't know how to rule. Shaya Tlasa Rigle, he waited 3 yontifs, right? Sometimes he asks a Rav Shaila, you know, he doesn't come back to you right away. Okay, and it's understandable. He's very busy. Yeah, I know. He's very busy, right? He's got a lot going on. Over here, Abaye waited 3 yontifs. But, as Rashi points out, why do you wait 3 yontifs? Because on yontif, there was conventions. Rabbinic conventions on yontif, back in the time of the Gemara. And nowadays as well, there are rabbinic conventions. Back in those days, the conventions took place on yontif. And so why did he need 3 yontifs? Why didn't he get the matter resolved on the first convention? It's a fair question. I don't know. But still, though, and so he looked for a little discussion amongst his colleagues to see where to go with this scenario. And as Hedy pointed out, I was thinking the same thing myself. And the meat just sat there for 3 months. Now, back then, remember, they did preserve their meat. They used salt to preserve their meat. And I guess... Yeah, I guess the meat could stay for a year.
The meat can't stay for a year?
I don't know. Amale Rav Ad, Bar Masna Zil, Kamed Rav Abrei, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, De Charifa Sakina. He says, you know, you can ask Rava. Right? Rashi tells us, by the way, that this Rava over here is the classic Rava, meaning Rava of Rava Nabaye, right? The classic Rava. There may be other Ravas throughout the time of the Gemara, but now we know it's Rava, son of Rav Yosef, son of Chama. The Gemara describes Rava as being Charifa Sakina. He's really sharp, right? And of course, it's very nice that this is the way Abaye is describing Rava. Nope, I'm sorry, this is not Abaye's description. No, it's not Abaye's description of Rava. It's Rav Ada Bar Masna's description of Rava. Okay, anyway. Also kame amar micht in ishbar etzim v'yatzal chutz tenan, mali nafal, mali isa. So he says, so Rava's answer is very straightforward, doesn't make a difference. Meaning, okay, there was a bone chip that fell off. Right now, is the bone covered? Is the majority of the bone covered? If it is, you're good. If it's not, then it's no good. Okay. Amle Ravina la Rava mislakate mahu, misroseis mahu, mismasmeis mahu. The Gemara now shoots out machine guns, a series of different questions. Again, the issue basically is one issue. What is a covering? In other words, we know that if the bone comes out, the majority of the bone has to be covered by flesh, flesh and skin, flesh or skin, right? Unclear, but it has to be covered. And the majority of it has to be covered. Let's start off with question number 1. Mislakate. What does that mean? Rashi explains. It means that it's covered, but the covering is not a contiguous covering. It's not one patch of flesh on the bone. It's little bits of flesh over. If I add it up, it turns into the majority. Question number 2. Misroses. Rashi says, the meat is really flattened out. It's like thin. It's like paper thin. Okay? Mismases. Mismases is actually that the meat is starting to decay. That's covering the bone. Okay. Can I count decaying meat as a covering? Hey chidami mismases, amar avuna bered rav yishu kol sharofi kodro. What's the definition of decay? The definition of decay is that if you took it to a doctor, the doctor would say, "Oh, we gotta scrape that off." That's considered decaying flesh. Now, ibayilahu nikev mahu. The Gemara now once again just shoots out more questions. There's a hole. There's a hole. Rashi says hole without actual missing flesh, meaning right the hole. It's like a small needle, thin needle, pierced it, but it's still covering. Niklaf mahu. What if it's peeled or peelable? Right? Rashi says, "Oso basar chofe ve'inu davuk be'etzem mahu." Meaning, what if the flesh? You could just simply, right? There's no adhesion of the flesh to the bone. You could just simply peel it back and just put it right back over here. Nizdak mahu. What if it's split? The flesh is split. Nita shlisha tachto mahu. What if the flesh is covering, but the side of the flesh that is facing the bone, a third of it is scraped off? So in other words, from the external standpoint, it looks like flesh. If you just look underneath, you see that a third of it is scraped off. Tashma, damar ulam, Rav Yochanan, or harehu kebasar. So the Gemara says, well, remember what Rav Yochanan said, that the skin, the hide is like meat. Now what the Gemara is assuming right now is that hide is a valid covering. Okay, that was debatable, but still the opinion of Rav Yochanan is that hide is considered like meat. Now the Gemara assumes that when we say that the hide is covering it, that there's no adhesion between the hide and the bone. Just happens to be that there's a layer of hide on top of the bone. You could have easily just peeled off the hide and put it right back on again. So you see that there doesn't have to necessarily be adhesion between the covering and the bone. So Gemara says, not so quick. Dilma dekana mashcha didei. No, maybe what happened is that when it broke, when the bone broke, the hide gripped onto the broken piece of the bone. So there really is a strong adhesion, attachment between the hide and the bone. Am Rav Ashi ki avina be Rav Papa ibayalan nigdar kemin dabas mahu. What if it's like this? What if there is a flesh, but it's like a patch of flesh, right? Bizarre scenario, meaning again broken bone. There is a covering, but the covering is almost like a patch. Meaning that there is a full circle, it's like a ring around the covering, so that there is no connection between the actual covering and any other part of the flesh of the animal. So it's like a self-standing covering, almost like a band-aid, if you will. Mahu upashtana meha the amar of Yehuda amarav davrzeh shalta the chacham l'rofen v'armu misarto be'etzem amal la'aruka avaparzola mizraf zarif. So he says, you know, here's what the doctors say. Misarto be'etzem. If I have this situation, this condition. Now, this is medicine, circa 4th, 5th century Iran. Okay, so cannot speak to the effectiveness of it nowadays. But if you take a little bone, not the bone of this animal, but the bone of another animal, and scrape a little bit at the flesh that's covering this, covering the bone, the broken bone, ma'ale aruka, it will heal. Ava parzala, but if I scrape it with iron, mizraf zarif. Not exactly sure what that means. It'll cause infection. Rashi says it'll cause grooves in it, and it'll make it worse. Amara papa v'hu dekana garma didei. It has to be where the hole and the bone are in the same, are aligned with one another. Then and only then does this type of therapy work. Okay? So essentially what the Gemara is saying is, even if it's a ring, as long as the ring is over and covering over, it would be, it seems to be that it would regrow and regenerate. I'm not 100% sure how this is working. No, if the bone is being covered, majority bone is being covered, the animal's not a trefa. Okay, so quickly let's summarize now. Broken bone of the animal. So and not just broken bone of the animal, and the bone comes out of the skin. So now the brisa says the majority of the exposed area has to be covered with flesh, with skin. Does that mean with flesh and skin, with flesh or skin? Subject to a debate. Rav Yochanan says either one of them would be fine. Then the Gemara went on to a lengthy discussion of what is considered a covering. Does it need to be an adhesion, right? Subject to a debate. Does it have to be? Does it continues count? Also debatable. Okay, a lot of details within the halacha of covering of the bone. All right, we continue in the Gemara. Now we start with the next Mishnah, the next sugya. Shochas the behema matza bashalya. Okay, you shecht an animal, and what do you find inside? So you find a sack, an amniotic sack. You don't find the fetus. Okay. Now, the rule is very simple. Ain't shalya below vlad. Right? It's impossible. Meaning, if there was an amniotic sack in there, there was a fetus. Okay, what happened to it? So, the assumption that the Mishnah and the Gemara makes is that it disintegrated. And it's now, it, it's In fact, probably, no, wasn't born. Wasn't born. And probably now actually in the sack. In other words, disintegrated parts of the fetus are now in the sack. And now when you're eating the amniotic sac, which is bordering on disgusting, and the Mishnah is going to acknowledge that. Right, the Mishnah is going to make a full disclosure that that's disgusting. But if you're eating the amniotic sac, you're probably eating a little bit of the fetus together with it. And halachically, it's fine. Why? Because it was inside the mother, and you shechted the mother. And as we've been discussing, since the first page of the fourth parak of Chulin, it's nitra yidei shechitas imo, becomes permitted. So the Mishnah says, Hashochet zebehema matzah b'shalya nefesh hayafa tochlenu. The good soul will eat it. This is euphemism. This is the Mishnah telling us, like, if you're a person that could stomach it, so then fine. I remember as a child, my mother, who is Argentine, but really not even Argentine. She's really Polish, right? It's, you know, just happens to be the Polish community moved to Buenos Aires. But I remember opening up the refrigerator as a kid and seeing the pecha, and I couldn't. Some people love it, pecha. They take legs and they jelly the legs. They cook the legs, the feet of an animal, and it turns into a nice jelly.
But the bone is.
Yeah, but
the bone turns into jelly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they do? Yeah,
they don't make it, but they sell it.
Right.
It's full of calcium.
Oh, calcium. Oh, that's good. Nefesh hayafa tochlenu. So if you're a good soul, so tochlenu, so then you eat it. Ve'ena matamis tumas ochlen, v'la matamis tumas v'lo tumas nevelos. Now, interestingly enough, it's not tummy. Meaning, now, food, let's remember that something that comes off an animal is subject to tumah on two scales, on two levels. Number one, it can be a source of tumah. How? It's a nevela. This is certainly not a nevela. We understand why. It was shechted. Meaning this amniotic sac was shechted. Not the sac, but the mother was shechted. That means that everything inside the mother now is not a nevela. So from that standpoint, it's not a source of tumah. However, it's eligible to be a tumah from another standpoint, and that is it's a food. All foods are not a source of tumah, but can receive tuma as ochlin, as food. So this amniotic sac, says the Mishnah, eino mitame la tumas ochlin velo tumas nevela. So it's not nevela, as I explained already. It's also not tumas ochlin, because most people don't eat it. Since most people don't eat it, it's not regarded as a food. Okay? What about our friend who's nefesh yafeh? Right? He's a good soul. Somebody who can handle such a dish, chishev alea, mitame tumas ochlin. Once he says to himself, I plan on eating this amniotic sac, so his machshava can render it into a food. Now, it's interesting, I just throw this out just for consideration. Sometimes we say, batla dato etzel kol adam, meaning that, right, the majority of people won't eat it, so therefore since the majority of people won't eat it, it's not considered a food. In this particular scenario, the Gemara says, well, no, if this person wants to eat it, so therefore it's regarded as a food. So I guess it depends, right? I'm guessing. It depends on what we're talking about. If it's something that's totally inedible, so the crazy person who decides to eat it, it doesn't matter. He's not, his machshava is not going to turn into a food. But the amniotic sac, which is edible, right? It is edible. Most people won't eat it, but it is edible. So for the person who decides to eat it, for him, his machshava can turn it into a food, and so now it will become subject to tuma. Avalo tumas nevelos. But obviously it's never going to be a nevela because it was shechted. Okay. Shal yasha yatsa miksasa asur ba'achila. Okay, what about the fetus itself? Okay, the fetus itself comes out. So it's going to be asur ba'achila. You're not going to be allowed to eat it. Meaning that we're now discussing and describing partial immersion out of the mother. Mother's alive, obviously. And there was a partial immersion of something. Something came out. So the Gemara says you won't be able to eat it. And for a very simple reason. Because it's unidentified. It came out of the mother. It's a birth. Now remember, in order for something to be a birth, all you need is for the head to come out. Now, granted that this particular fetus unfortunately disintegrated, so we're really not able to recognize what came out, but what could have come out is simply the head. So therefore, you're simply not allowed to eat it because you may be looking at something which is usher. Simavla be'isha, simavla be'behema. The Mishnah tells us that what is going to be the telltale sign of birth for an animal is also the telltale sign of birth for a human. We know for humans, Rosh, the head of the human, is considered a birth. Same story for an animal. Hamiva kereshihi pila shalya yashlichenu leklavim. What if this is the first time this animal is giving birth, i.e., that which comes out is a bechor.
Potentially.
Right? Ben's correct, meaning we're not 100% sure, but it could be a bechor. The Mishnah, and again, it's a mass that came out of the mother. We have just no recognition of certainly what gender it is. We're not even sure if what part of the fetus it is. But it came out, so yishlichenu leklavim. So the Mishnah says, feed it to the dogs. Now that requires explanation, which the Gemara will do. Because if you think about it, wait a second. This could very well be a bechor. It could be a firstborn. Right now, as Ben points out, this is only true for the males. It's not true for the females, and we're not sure what it is. But it could be a male, and this could be the birth of a male. So if we're really talking about a bechor, you can't give a bechor, and it has kedusha. I understand, we all understand, we're not going to offer this on the Mizbeach, but we have to treat this with kedusha. You wouldn't feed it to a dog. And the Mishnah says it's okay, feed it to a dog. So that requires explanation. Stay tuned, the Gemara will discuss. Uve mugdashim tikaver. Now, what if it's a carbon that gave birth to, again, a totally unrecognizable mess? So there, the Mishnah says, so there you have to bury it. Right, because it has kedusha. Ein kover noso be parshas drachim, you cannot bury it in the crossroads. Ein tol noso be ilan, don't hang it from a tree. Mibnei darche hamori, this is Amorite practice. We're not allowed to follow darche hamori, uvechuko seyem lo se lechu, right? Don't follow the means and the methods of the Amorites. And so these are Amorite practices. They were of the belief that if you take a fetus, a miscarried fetus, and buried in the crossroads, it won't happen again. Okay, that's their belief. What is it based on? However they arrived at that conclusion. Same thing. If you hang it from a tree, it won't happen again. So uvechukosem lo selechu. There's no scientific explanation. There's no rational explanation. These are just nonsensical things they do. So therefore, we can't follow in their paths. You're allowed to eat kol behema, any part of the animal, which means that if you shech the animal and what you find inside is an amniotic sac, that is kol behema, that's everything found in the animal. So the Gemara says, what if some of it came out prior to you shechting the animal? Now that you can't eat. Okay? Michli, the Gemara says, wait a second, in shalya below vlad. So the Gemara says, hold on one second. You're talking about a shalya, you're talking about a placenta coming out? Ain't shalya below vlad. The placenta may in fact have a fetus. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that, well, you know, if the placenta comes out of her, you know, you're not allowed to eat it. Of course not. That placenta may contain fetus inside of it. That fetus that came out prior to the shechita did not enjoy a shechita, was not mukhshalay de shechita. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me, oh, you can't eat it? So the Gemara says, good point. 100% correct. Meaning the real drush of the pasuk is that anything inside the animal, the amniotic sac, and whatever you find inside, that's going to be fine. Right? As far as if it was born prior to the shechita, I don't need the pasuk. I already know that you're not allowed to eat it. Eina matami bar yitzchak bar nafcha or chamor sheshalko mahu. Take the hide of donkey and I cook it up really good so it gets soft. Now, obviously, a donkey isn't kosher. Okay? So the Gemara now is asking whether or not if I cook up the hide of donkey so that it gets good and soft, is it considered a food? It's an interesting discussion because you're not allowed to eat it. It's the donkey. But in the world of Tumah, the Gemara is asking the following question. is it subject to tumas ochlin? Because a food, kosher or not kosher, is subject to tumah, is susceptible to tumah, even if we can't eat it for halachic considerations, but in terms of tumah, kosher, not kosher, is irrelevant. For in the world of tumah, is it a food? If yes, then it's subject to Kabbalah's tumah. It will receive tumah. And if it's not a food, it's not going to be makabel tumah. So therefore, the Gemara is now asking, if I take the hide of a donkey and I cook it up real good, and now it gets soft, so now it's edible, is it makabel tumah? Lamai. Ilatumas ochlin tanina, ilatumas nevelas tanina. The Gemara says, look, good question, but both of the answers are covered already in the Mishnah. Tumas ochlin de tanya. Look, we have a braisa. Ha'or v'ashul yeh metamit tumas ochlin, or sheshaka v'ashari shechisha v'la metamit tumas ochlin, tumas nevelas, metamit tumas ochlin. So if I have hide, or if I have shul, or if I have an amniotic sac, so it's not going to be metamit ochlin. Now, when it comes to the hide, and I cook it up good, so it gets soft, Matam et Tumas Ochlin. All right.
But it's a donkey's hide, no?
Okay, the Gemara is going to make that point. Meaning that will be the point the Gemara is going to say is the new point of this discussion. Tumas Nevelas Nami. And what as far as it being a Nevela is concerned, look, we already know hide is not Nevela. It's not a source of Tumah. Source of Tumah is only the flesh of an unshechted animal. We learned this in a braisa. Binivla sevelo orvelo betzamas velo begidim velo bekarnayim velo betzalafim. Flesh. It's got to be the meat. It's got to be the muscle of an animal. Hide, bone, sinew, horns, hooves. Those parts of the animal are not sources of tuma. It's not nevela. V'amar Rabba Baruch Hanalon Tzuchel Oshas and Tzikei Kedera. And even if I cook it up, right, like my mother's picha. Even if I cook it up, so I take the hooves, I take the horn, I take the hide, and I cook it up so I make it nice and soft, and so it becomes edible, it's not a nevela. Nevela is only the flesh of the animal. So the Gemara says, so let's go back. So what's your question? Your question was that when it comes to the hide of a donkey, look, we know it's not going to be nevela. And we also know that if I cook it up, it will be give off tumas ochlin. So what's your question? So la'olam tumas ochlim v'shani or chamor dema'is. So the Gemara says the hide of a donkey is disgusting. Now, I'm not following, to be honest, how the hide of a donkey is any more disgusting than the hide of a cow or the hide of any kosher animal. Meaning, huh? Right. Maybe, I want you to know, Hedy, right? You say that almost in jest. That could be what the Gemara's point is. It's not clear. It's really not clear. The Gemara just simply uses one word to describe the difference. It's ma'is. Could be that mius over here, usually that's not what mius means. Usually, mius means it physically is repulsive. Maybe over here, it's repulsive also because it's not kosher. Right, right. Shal yesh yatzis amar avalaz v'loshanu ala she'eni mavlad. Aval yeshi mavlad en choshishin levlad acher. Okay. What if I have a placenta and a fetus that came out? Okay. Now, as far as the placenta is concerned, so what's the reason why I can't eat the placenta? Well, because it may have a fetus inside. What if a placenta comes out and a fetus comes out? Okay, so now, is the placenta fetus-free? Presumably, yes. And Rav Elazar says, not presumably, yes. The placenta is fetus-free. How do I know that? Because here's the fetus. So, right? So, watch. Fetus, placenta. Rav Yochanan Amar, Bein Eini Mavlad, Bein Yeshi Mavlad, Choshishin Vlad Acher. So, Danny, you are Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, we're worried about a twin. Right? Could be that there were twins inside, and it could be that this placenta that you see over here actually was a placenta of another twin. Yes, it is. Right, in other words, you have to add a lot to the story over here. Because not only do you have to explain that the other fetus went away, you also have to explain that the other placenta went away. Right? Very good. So the Gemara says, fine, meaning I understand the machlokas, but it doesn't fit with a statement made by Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah makes a statement that Rav Elazar is a machmir. Now, the way that the machlokas is presented to us, it's Rav Yochanan who's being unbelievably machmir over here. So this doesn't fit with what Rabbi Yirmiyah said. Ela yidmar hachi yidmar. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're going to now learn another version of the machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, and it will fit much better with the statement of Rav Yirmiyah. Am Rav Elazar lo shana lo shayna kshura bevlad, ava kshura bevlad eichoshin levlad, acher. Comes out now that Rav Elazar says like this, that in order to assign this placenta to this fetus, they have to be tied together, like a placenta and fetus usually are. Placenta and fetus usually are connected together, usually following the birth of the child comes the placenta, right? And the afterbirth, and usually they're connected together with a cord. So if they're tied together, so then Rav Elazar says, then and only then can I say the placenta was fetus free. However, if they're not tied together, so then I'm going to suggest or concern ourselves with the fact that there were twins, that this placenta has the disintegrated parts of the other baby that was inside, and the placenta of the first animal, I don't know, it disintegrated. Again, that's now Rav Elazar's position. Good. Now you see already that Rav Elazar is being machmir.
So each twin is on the placenta?
The Gemara assumes that. Rav Yochanan Amar Anu Ein Lanu Ela Shilya Belo Vlad. Aval Yeshi Mavlad Bein Kshura Bavlad Bein Kshura Bavlad Nichosh Nelvad Acher. No, Rav Yochanan comes out over here being Mekel, and he says that if the Shilya, if there's one Shilya, one Vlad, one placenta, one fetus, fine. I'm going to say that here's the placenta, here's the fetus, tied, not tied, doesn't matter. Right, the only time that I'm going to worry that the placenta may have the fetus is only when there is placenta, no fetus that came out. That's good. Meaning now I understand. Okay. And Rav Elazar is being machmir, and that's correct. Rav Elazar is being machmir. And the Gemara says, I have a brisa supporting Rav Elazar. Tanya kavasa de Rav Elazar. Hama pelas min behema chayva ovishol yimahem bezman shekshura behen nechoshin levlad acher. If the fetus and the placenta were tied together, so then fine. So then I'm not going to worry about another fetus. However, if they're not tied together, so then I'm worried about twins. I'm worried that the placenta of this fetus is disintegrated. I'm worried that the fetus of this placenta disintegrated, and it could very well be that the second, or in this case, the only placenta that came out actually has another fetus inside.
How come it doesn't apply the concept of what's common? This is like so uncommon.
Right. It's like your point you made earlier. This sounds like Rav Meir. It's like Choshen Lemiuta. Right. Hamivakereshi Hipila. The Gemara now will explain what I mentioned earlier, and that is that if the mother gave birth, and this is her first baby, and the mother gave birth, and something came out, and it's a mass, and it's unidentifiable, and it's, so what can you do, says the Mishnah? You can feed it to your dog. And the Gemara is going to say, my taima, what's the reason for that? Amar avika bereid rav ami rov behemos yoldos davar hakadosh bebechora, umiyot behemos davar sheinu kadosh bebechora. Look, what we're going to do is we're going to play the percentages. Okay. First of all, even if it's male, not every male child that comes out firstborn is going to have kedushas bechor. In order for a male fetus to come out to have kedushas bechor, it has to look like an animal. It cannot be a mutated creature. Umay nihu nidme. And sometimes it's rare, but sometimes a male can come out. It's mutated. It doesn't look like an animal. It doesn't look like its mother. It looks like another animal. And that does not have kedushas bechor. And Rashi points out, see the Gemara in Bechoros Daf Yud Beis for how we know that such a fetus does not have kedushas bechor. V'chol ha'yoldos yoldos mechzes achar me'mechzen akevos. And on top of that, there's another statistic that you have to keep in mind, and that is 50% male, 50% female. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to take these two and add them together. 50% female, 50% male, obviously 50% female, right? That means done. That certainly does not have kedushas bechor. Bechor is only male. Then, even in the world of male, sometimes what comes out is a mutated animal that does not have kedushas bechor. So now I chip away at the 50%. So now it's less than 50%, and the Gemara says that now you have a simple majority.
First meeting is what's viable and what's not viable. So you get to the first stage, and it's going to be 50-50.
Right. You speak in this in this community. Rabbi Lander is our resident statistician. Right. He's the stats guy. So you can ask him if he would agree. So mechzan akiva smoch miyuta the nidma le mechzan akivas v'havelu zechar miyuta uvim mukdashim tikaver my time aruba bar mikdashu. And now if it's a carbon that gave birth, right? The animal was hekdesh. And it gave birth, so the Gemara explains very simply, yeah. Because whatever gives birth to male or female is going to have Kedusha. So you have to bury it. And finally, Ein Kovrin Osa, Abai V'Rava Darmi Tavayu. Here's our rule. What is it, Darche Amori? Very simple. Kol Davar Shiesh Bo Refua, Ein Bo Mishim Darche Amori. Ein Bo Refua, Yesh Bo Darche Amori. So when is it Darche Amori, when is it not? So basically, if I can give modern terminology over here, if it's in a medical journal, it's not Darche Amori. Now, you and I both know that not everything that's written up in medical journals is correct. Okay? Correct. But, in other words, the science of the day, the science of the day, whatever is considered to be normal medical practice, and the doctors are telling you, we do see value in it, so then it's not Darche Amori. However, if there's no rational explanation, there's no scientific explanation, there's no medical explanation, it just happens to be that their superstition, you can't do it. Right? Now the Gemara says, now, but we did learn a brisa, you learn shemesher peirosav. Let's say you have a tree and it has an overactive pituitary gland. Now, I'm joking. I mean, you know, whatever. It's overactive, and the fruit is growing, and the fruit and it's letting go of the fruit prior to the full ripening of the fruit. So the Brisa says, so what can you do? Sokra b'sikra v'torn o ba'avanim. You paint the tree red, you make a red stripe around the tree, and you hang rocks off of the branches. Okay, now the Gemara says, "Bishlamatuana ba'avanim ki hecha de nechechosh chuya." Now, apparently, hanging rocks off the branches—I'm not a farmer. I'm trusting the Gemara on this. That's helpful. That is empirically helpful to the tree. It'll slow the growth of the fruit, and the fruit won't fall off so quickly. Elasokro besikra amai, but painting the tree red. That sounds Amorite-like. It sounds like something the Amorim would do. It sounds like voodoo. So Ela Sokra B'Sikra Amayki Hechad Elechze Inish V'Li Barachem Elavei. So the Gemara says, no, it's not voodoo. Because you paint it red, the person who's walking by is going to know, sick tree. I'm going to pray for the tree. And that is not, it's interesting, that's not Darche Amori. That's normal. And the Gemara says, in fact, when someone's a Mitzora, so he has to tell people, you know, I'm a Mitzora, right? What is that? That's therapy? It's, you know, it's to make him feel better? Part of the answer is yes, but part of the answer is also that, right, the Gemara said, you tell people your tzaras, right? Tell somebody who cares, by the way. But right, you tell somebody who cares, and they're gonna daven on your behalf. V'chein misher bo davar tzarach lahodil l'rabim v'rabim mevakshen lav rachamin. And anytime you have any tzaras, it doesn't matter. You tell somebody, and they're gonna be mispal on your behalf. Amar Ravina kaman talina kufsa b'dikula. So the Gemara says that we do that. Eshkol tamar, we hang a basket of dates on a palm tree, because the palm tree, something's not right about the palm tree. So the Gemara says, "Come on, ki haitana, because hanging a basket of tree is a telltale sign. It lets everybody know something's wrong with the tree, and they're going to be mispala on behalf of the tree. Hadron alach behema mahamacha, and that is the end of the fourth parak. Tomorrow we start the fifth parak.